Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive in the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
And good evening. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lon Tay, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. Hope you enjoyed the visit with Jeff Alexander, new Illinois basketball assistant coach. We've heard a lot from him in the last 2 days. The Zoom conference yesterday, and then, of course, with him here today, live on The Drive. So that was fun. We're going to talk a little Cubs and Cardinals this hour. We'll do that. I want to talk a little NBA. They do a lot of that on ESPN Radio, so I don't feel like we are expert enough to probably back that up, but there's a few topics that I want to hit on with you. You had mentioned, we went to break talking about toughness and how off the air we talked about how, you know, like, is there a ceiling to a team like Purdue? Obviously there is, right? I mean, it's a team that continues their quest to get to a Final Four. Wisconsin is a team you look at like that. They have gotten to a title game, lost it. They were back-to-back title games. I'd take that. Michigan State has won a national title with Tom Izzo. Have they won two with him?
One.
Just the one. Okay. George Perlis was their basketball or their football coach. Who am I thinking of? The guy that slammed it off his head at Michigan State, slammed the ball down and it hit him. I can't think of his name.
Jeff Heathcote? No.
Judd Heathcote. That's it.
My bad.
No, we appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. So he won one, of course, with Larry or with Magic Johnson and that crew. So, I mean, you brought up the perfect example, though, of a team that can play tough and probably a team you never expected to reach the level that they just did this last year.
Yeah, when we're talking about Purdue, as far as, and I'm not trying to put, like, tough doesn't need to come with limitations.
No.
And I'm not trying to say that, but there is kind of a
this
thought.
This is my I think I've led you down this.
No, I think there is an underlying question sometimes, especially when you replace two big-time recruiters in Orlando and a Chin. Are we going to get the same kind of players? Are we going to have classes back-to-back where we're getting top 50
exactly
type of guys? And there are different roads to success.
Mm-hmm.
And even with a guy like, I'm not saying that Chester Frazier can't do that. I'm not saying that Jeff Alexander can't do that. But if it is going to be part of, you know, leaning on culture and development and whatnot, that's why we reference Purdue. That's why we reference Wisconsin. And I talked about Purdue's ceiling, and it dawned on me in the break. It's like, well, the team that just won the national title.
Exactly.
In Baylor, you wouldn't have said prior to this year
that
Baylor has a national title caliber ceiling. Like, you wouldn't even necessarily say, oh, this team can win the Big 12, not with Kansas and what Bill Self's doing.
No, they hadn't.
They hadn't won it. So you're thinking, okay, they're pretty darn good.
Yep.
They're really tough. Now, do they get top 100 players? Scott Drew recruits fairly well, but it's not up there in the top five of the country every year, whatever it may be. But 3 seed through 6 seed, a lot of years, win 20 plus games.
There's no doubt.
And it all came together this year, and they were phenomenal. And they won the title.
Baylor was always that 4 seed. When you were filling out your bracket, you'd have them going around maybe 2, and then you're like, eh, I'm not going to take them into the
They get upset
Elite Eight.
a decent amount.
I agree. And then, of course, when Illinois played Baylor this year, and when we saw a guy like Io, an All-American that will be drafted, when we saw him not even be able to get into the zone, and I think if they would have played again, I would have loved to have played Baylor again, I think. But, well, I would have loved in the Final Four, exactly, but I would have loved to have seen the changes that were made to try to do that. But the way that they picked apart Gonzaga, even, I mean, they just wore Gonzaga down. Drew Timmy was just ready to, he's like, I'm done. It was unbelievable. And that shows you that you can be tough and you can be really good at the same time. So maybe we're trying to talk ourselves into what we're saying is right. But I mean, I've brought that up with you before about, I feel like with Brad, and I'll be transparent. A lot of it is because of the relationships he has. His coaching mentors are two guys that are as tough as you can get. And all of a sudden, I can't think of their names. West Hugs. Virginia, Hugs and
Frank Martin.
Yeah. I mean, those are two tough-minded guys. And then you bring in a Chester Frazier. That's how he played.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how he played.
Exactly.
I don't remember Jeff Alexander when he was at Western, but from all sounds, you know, from everything I hear about it, that's how he played. And that's why it kind of led me to that point of, you know, you're going to get, I think they're going to recruit guys that are really good, but also have a little bit of a tenacity in them. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's continuing the culture that you established.
Exactly.
And that's just, look, I still think what Illinois is coming off of in terms of the trajectory of this program and who they were just this past year. And if at the end of the day, Io's gone, and if Kofi is as well, and you're getting two guys, hopefully if Kofi's leaving, he's going to get drafted. Two guys drafted.
It'd be awesome.
I believe Jeff when he says, like, the feedback we're getting right now as far as what people think about us is as good as it's been in a long time.
Sweet.
And for them to capitalize on that. But also, like you said, maybe they're getting some guys that are under the radar. Maybe mm-hmm. they're getting some guys mm-hmm. that are just, I don't know, that's been in the past for Chester. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the same case.
Exactly.
But there's no doubt that toughness is really going to be ingrained and a part of what they're going to seek. And it has been in the past,
yep.
too.
I think Illinois fans are hoping that's the case in football, too, with Brett Bielema. And I feel like that's what we're going to see out of him. That's how he's going to develop this program. If I told you that Io has been the most important guy for Brad Underwood at Illinois, you would not argue. If I told you that Kofi was maybe the second most important guy in terms of getting this program to where it is now for Illinois, I don't think you'd argue that either.
No.
If I told you Georgie was third, would you disagree with me? And here's what I mean. You had a season where you won, what, 12 games? You set a record for most losses. You had a star. I don't mean an All-American, but you had a star in Georgie. You had a guy that Illinois fans could absolutely flock to because they loved him. And they saw him as a freshman do what he did. And then all of a sudden you see a guy going into his sophomore year where now your team's better. Unfortunately, COVID hit. You couldn't make the tournament. You would have been in it. Georgie had to change roles. So one thing, though, that never left, still beloved. Then you get into his junior year. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, I mean, just everything about him. I understand that the All-Americans are the ones that pretty much get you to the next level in terms of building your program. You got to have a guy like Georgie. And the idea that he brought a friendly likability to Illinois basketball. Not that Illinois has ever been like an unlikable program. Don't get me wrong. But he brought something that not many can bring. It's a rarity. To what he brought to this program, I just think he meant so much. And that was what I was going to start the program with. I just think he meant so much to developing what is now going forward at Illinois. Brad Underwood's a funny dude. You were talking about that. You're around him all the time. He is a funny guy. I think he loved coaching Georgie.
Definitely. Most of the time.
Well,
I'm sure at the end of the, you ask him, do you love coaching him? He would say yes, 100%. Well, okay, 90% of the time.
Because I bet there were times where he's like, Georgie, you're pushing it.
That, and I mean, he'd do some stuff in the games that was pretty frustrating.
No doubt.
Now, I got to give Ryan on the Atlanta Link text line, in terms of that pecking order, Trent Frazier, who you've talked a ton about in terms of his value and where Illinois is at,
that's true.
Right up there as well.
No, you're exactly right.
But in terms of getting Illinois off the ground, to have a five-man like that, just what he put on his shoulders as a freshman was huge.
Unbelievable.
And then to be selfless enough to let Kofi come in.
Exactly.
And adjust and adapt and to befriend the guy, to become best friends with a guy who is going to take your minutes at the five and make you have to play the four, which you struggled mightily doing, and their roommates and all that. But I do think when you talk about culture, Georgie's right there at the towards the top as far as what Illinois has established, because he's a competitive guy.
Like,
he would love to get after in practice. He would love to run his mouth, which is fine. I mean, he's got a swagger about him, a confidence. And then just like you said, a likability. Not that this translated necessarily into wins, but just the way he was with the media, locally, but like when ESPN comes to town or when Andy Katz wants to do an interview, they want to talk to Georgie.
Yep.
And that is one of the faces of Illinois basketball in becoming more relevant. And he was such a huge part of that.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they corrected me on Trent. Obviously, Trent Frazier's been huge. And on the court, there's no doubt more of an impact than what Georgie had. But I just don't know. I've been around enough, and probably in a weird way, even closer than you. And let me explain. When you cover basketball or football or sports here at Illinois, it's hard to get close to the athletes. You get to meet them, don't get me wrong. When I was at SIU, fresh out of college, I mean, I was going out and having a beer with these guys, or going out and eating dinner with them, or, you know, just hanging with them, essentially. Going over to their apartment with Chris Lowry and Paul Lusk and Marcus Timmons and all these guys. Teams that made the NCAA tournament three straight years. And I could see a guy like Marcus Timmons. Georgie reminds me a lot of Marcus Timmons. Marcus Timmons was the clown in practice. He was, I mean, I've told you the story, his senior night. He comes walking over to me. Now, I think they're beating Drake by like 12. There's like 48 seconds left. Coach Heron's getting them all out. Marcus Timmons walks over to me, and I'm on press row right on the court. Puts his hands down on press row. He looks at me. He goes, "Where are we going tonight, dog?" And I'm like, "Marcus." And everybody in the crowd behind me just starts laughing. You know, like, "Where are we going?"
Hear
tonight?
That?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was Timmons. And, you know, and then he'd be, you know, he'd be in practice and something would go wrong. You could ask Chris Lowry this, now the assistant with Bruce Weber, of course. Rich Heron would get to a certain level of just being upset. And this is probably what you're talking about with Brad and Georgie. And all of a sudden, Marcus would just start imitating Rich Heron. "Hey, gang, you know, and it just, everybody would start laughing. It would cut the tension. I just think people like that are huge for a program. And as you mentioned with Georgie, not only did Kofi take his minutes and force him to become a different player at Illinois, he didn't complain about it, and he just became best friends with him. I mean, if right. that doesn't tell you, and here's, listen, Georgie's trying to make money playing this game. So in a way, he should have been upset that Kofi's coming in and taking his minutes, but you know, he relished it and worked on a different role, and I hope that that is something that even gets him more money in the sense that, you know what, he can play the five. We've seen him now develop a little bit more at the four. You know, the European game or wherever he's going to play next could fit his skill a lot better than a Big Ten basketball, let's say. I just think it's amazing. I don't know why I thought about it today because of the Illini Inquirer, but I thought, you know, don't get me wrong, we've talked about Georgie. We love Georgie. Everybody loves Georgie. He comes in, he does little snippets for us here on the drive. I mean, he is truly an amazing guy. But I thought, you know, I want to give him his due with regards to not necessarily, but yet for sure, his effort on the court, but also the effort behind the scenes. Because when you're close to a program, and I saw that with Timmons at Southern, I could see him on a day of practice when everybody was just, blech. It's a Wednesday afternoon, it's 14 degrees out, nobody wants to be at practice, and here's Timmons lighting it up, being funny, talking crap, just imitating the coach, and the next thing you know, they had one of the best practices they've ever had. And I was able to sit in and watch that a lot. And I think that's probably something I could almost guarantee you there's been, Brad Underwood would tell you what I just said, about that kind of a practice. I guarantee you Georgie did the same role, and that helps a team get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that he just, when I used to be able to go over to Oven, is going to be coming soon again, I hope.
Oh, bless your heart. Crossed,
but he was always there. I mean, he's
always
his work ethic. He used to joke, like, the women's team, after he'd get done working out, he didn't want to go back to his apartment. He'd just go watch the women's team practice or just hang out in the training room. There were times they told him, like, George, you got to leave.
You
like,
got to go home.
Get out of here. We actually prefer if you're not here right now. I'm sure he'd probably be chatting in the background while Coach Faye was trying to make a point or something. But, I mean, just a great dude.
I love
hilarious.
That kid.
And I'll always think back to that. Not only how he played, I mean, how he played in that Ohio State Big Ten tournament championship.
12 straight or something?
Yeah, and I'm so glad that he had that.
Yes.
Towards the end moment that, to really remember him by. And then, of course, the post-game presser with Kofi was amazing, legendary.
Legendary.
And with Kofi, with this news that at least trending that direction, or if it is indeed correct that Kofi's staying in the draft for sure, it kind of stinks that you don't have that guy.
There's no doubt.
And what he could have brought and experience-wise, and we fully understand the reasonings why he would go professional and go back closer to home, but...
Can he still come back?
I assume he signed.
Okay.
He has signed with an agent.
Okay.
And I think that door is probably closed.
But you're right. He would help this team. He would absolutely help this team. The way it's configured now, if Kofi didn't come back, Georgie would help this team with either a starter at the five or right there to help Omar Payne. I think it'd be huge. So it's funny. I just waxed poetic on Georgie. I could do that all day on Trent Frazier, too. And that's why I'm glad you guys corrected me. Trent Frazier. I'm not going to go into it right now because we just went 20 minutes on Georgie. I'm not going to go another 20 on Trent. But think about what he did to join this program and to stick with it. And now he's going to come back again. Isn't that weird to say?
Another one.
He and DeMonte coming back. I'm okay with all of that. I am absolutely fine with all of that.
Wouldn't it be crazy? Maybe a thought to send us to break. If with those guys back in particular, it makes me think of what if their fifth year, it won't be better over the course of record and seed and everything than year four was. But what if the result
was
in
better.
The tournament ends up being better when you lost two All-Americans, you lost three assistants, and the Illinois Mr. Basketball once again... second time during Brad's tenure, leaves after 1 year.
I tell you what.
What if that happens?
Why couldn't this team make a Sweet 16? If you made a Sweet 16, you surpassed last year's tournament. That's a fair point. That's an interesting point. I think that would say a lot.
It'd be interesting to see it.
I think it'd say a lot about the coaching, and I think it would say a lot about, I hope Brad Underwood learned lessons in this tournament. But I also think that it would say a lot about a guy like Trent Frazier and DeMonte Williams.
Definitely. It would also probably say you beat Kentucky in round two, knowing how the committee sets up these matchups.
Oh, yeah, baby! What would the seedings be? 7-10?
Potentially.
5?
Could be 4-5.
4-5. Let's go that. Boom, you just nailed it. 4-5. Yep. In the Charlotte, North Carolina region, Illinois and Kentucky, welcome, friends. Jim Nance on the call.
That'd be fun.
Would Calipari, would Brad shake hands with Chen and Orlando?
Yeah, he would. He definitely would.
He definitely would. I know. He definitely would.
Curbelo waves to Big Tim in the crowd.
He's like, where's Big Tim after he wins the game? I want to meet Big Tim. Come down here. Let's talk some baseball next. Trevor is still here. The Cubs have been winning left and right. We've got to do the due diligence to your first place Chicago Cubs, tied with the Cardinals. It's a drive.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do.
Looking to remodel your kitchen with a brand new quartz or granite countertop? Look no further than Luther Falls Kitchen and Bath. I'm Jay Lehman, and when I needed a new countertop, I went to Luther Falls Kitchen and Bath. As a direct fabricator of quartz and granite countertops, they always beat the big box store in price. Luther Falls Kitchen and Bath is running specials for a new year that obliterate big box store prices. Visit their store located on North Madison, Champaign, or visit them online at lutherfalls.com. That's lutherfalls.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. You know, when we talk advertising with our clients, in the back of everybody's mind is, what do I get? How much do I sell when I advertise on the radio? And you know what? It's a fair question. How much stuff do I sell when I advertise with you? Well, here at Stevie J Broadcasting, we have developed a unique and exclusive marketing program that guarantees people will spend money with your business every month and provide feedback as to what they thought of their experience with you. It's called Stever. Now, if your company's looking for more customers who I guarantee will spend money with you each and every month, why don't you at least find out what this is about? Call 217-840-9913 to get a quick explanation and start knowing what you get for some of your advertising dollar. 217-840-9913. Space for this program is limited. 217-840-9913.
Hi, I'm Nikki Marini, Doctor of Physical Therapy at the Mettler Center. Take short breathing breaks during your day to reduce muscular tension. Inhale fully for a count of five, then exhale fully for a count of five. Inhale two, three, four, five. Exhale two, three, four, five. Continue like that, creating a relaxed and centered feeling in your body and mind. Please visit MettlerCenter.com for more details.
Long's Garage in Urbana is the oldest auto repair facility in the area. In fact, they've been in business 80 years. That spanned 20 presidential elections. The population of Champaign-Urbana 80 years ago was around 23,000. Now it's over 210,000, and Long's is still proudly serving all of them. There aren't many places that can survive and thrive through 80 years of outstanding service, so give Long's a shot at 503 East Main Street in Urbana or online at longsautomotiverepair.com.
Jeff Facer on what Area-Wide Technologies does.
We are a full-service technology company that focuses on business-to-business solutions for our clients, and we handle everything from the security of your internet network and data to implementation and administration of these things, as well as email and pretty much full-service of anything that a business would need technology-wise.
To find out more, go to Area-Wide Tech.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Madison Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
So you are good at what you do. They nominated you to be law enforcement official of the month. What do you think? I mean, what makes you good at your very difficult work of investigations and particularly a lot of children involved? Are you good at what you do, obviously, because they're raving about you at Urbana Police Department, so they say, Sergeant Tim's great.
Somewhere along the line, I got involved with the Illinois Attorney General's Office of Internet Crimes Against Children, and that's when I started doing child exploitation investigations, and seriously, I have three daughters, so I always talk about having the best interest, not just obviously for the community, but there's a ton of value in the internet crime type cases, because there's a lot of it out there, a lot more than people realize, and it needs to be done.
Well, just know that the majority appreciate you, appreciate what you do every day, we appreciate how difficult it is, and we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you're out there keeping us safe, doing stuff that most couldn't do, and you're very special. Thank you for your efforts in keeping us, again, safe from some evil out there, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Game Day Spirit. Two locations, Neal and Green.
I love going in their stores. I've said this over and over. They have, I mean, if you want a nice golf shirt, golf polo, they've got that. If you want just a jersey, they've got that. I mean, pretty much anybody from age whatever up to whatever, they have got you figured out. And so hit Game Day Spirit. Go to GameDaySpirit.com and just peruse. I love that word. Look through the website. See if anything stands out to you. I guarantee you're going to see a few things that stand out to you. And then just make it happen, either via the web or go in. I love going in and talking to them as well. So Game Day Spirit. Follow again, or it's GameDaySpirit.com. All right, do we want to talk NBA or do we want to talk Cubs?
Let's start with the Cubs.
I was waiting for Trevor to say, oh, of course you're going to go NBA. Cubs won again today, Trevor, and I know it's the Pirates. Don't get me wrong. The Cardinals, they kind of made their hay against bad teams, and that's why Piper and I are excited tonight against Arizona, a team that has lost 11 straight. It is a franchise record, although that scares me. How long do franchise records last? In other words, how many more games are they going to lose here? Mm-hmm. Hopefully four. But you just, in the back of your mind, think, uh-oh. So you're beating up on the Pirates, Trevor. I mean, what has gone right for the Cubbies? And, I mean, what has been the biggest difference with the Cubbies lately?
I would say the bullpen has been the thing that, and pitching development overall maybe has been the thing that I think so severely lacked in the past few years, where we talked a lot about it. Theo's strategy, Theo Epstein, who's not there now, his strategy was to build hitting, develop hitting, and buy pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to his credit, it worked. You traded for guys. You added guys like Lackey. You added guys. I mean, it worked. But at a certain point, it's sort of like, how many times can you patch the hole in the boat with more,
I get
with
it.
More of the tape before it eventually just burst through. And there was a point where it's like, the stat was, I think Alzolay was the only guy from the entire Epstein era that has ever like been a homegrown pitcher that's pitched even moderately well in the big league level.
Wow.
And that's kind of it. Like, that's silly.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you can focus on developing hitting, but you can't literally have zero developed pitchers in the big leagues.
Kind of like the Cardinals have zero developed hitters.
Outfielders. Well, Carlson.
But I mean, at least they had options.
No, you're right.
I mean, I'm not saying they're good options, but they had homegrown guys that they were trying.
You're right.
The Cubs just did not have any homegrown pitchers that had any modicum of success. And so now you're seeing guys like Keegan Thompson, who's a homegrown pitcher, who's been doing really well. Justin Steele was doing really well until he rounded the bases and pulled a hammy. But he'll be back in a few days. Tommy Nance throws like 97 and has a nasty slider, and he's homegrown.
Mm.
And so Alzolay, you know, he's taking steps forward. And there was a big story on how much he worked at it wasn't AAA last year. It was like the alternate.
Oh, yeah. Alternate site. Yep.
He worked really hard last year, basically reworking his mechanics and which pitches he was going to throw last year. And clearly that's worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the bullpen, Dan Winkler, he's got like the second lowest ERA of any reliever. That isn't zero. I don't personally think that that's going to hold for the rest of the year, but he's been really, really effective.
Well, and
Craig Kimbrell's bounced back. He went from looking
big time
broken to throwing 100 and looking like Craig Kimbrell again.
He's big time bounced
back. So to me, that's, you know, we can talk forever. The three of us could sit here for the next 6 hours and talk, or at least I could, and talk about why isn't Rizzo hitting better than these career averages. You know, Baez needs to hit better. Bryant has been hitting well, but what happened to him the last 3 years? I feel like I've had that discussion about that
over and over.
And it's a fair discussion to have. I'm just saying
it is.
I've had it so many times that it's funny. You get so singularly focused on that. And then it's like, oh, wait, here's like eight really nice developed pitchers. And then suddenly that's not as big a problem. And if they're hitting 260 instead of 290, it actually is okay.
Yes.
If your pitching staff can hold teams to three or four runs instead of making you score seven or eight runs to win every game.
I think I saw a tweet from Jesse Rogers today that said the bullpen has gone 34 1/3 without giving up a run.
Yep.
And he put it in context like, hey, listen, you know, it's May. But I don't care what point during the season, if your bullpen goes 34 1/3 pipes without giving up a run, they're getting something done down there. And that's huge. And I know.
And that started with the Dodgers, whom you swept.
So, right.
Yes, there's Pirates sprinkled in there. But I mean,
but
the Dodgers have a legit offense. The Nats, they're not great. But, you know, Juan Soto and crew, Schwarber, they certainly hit a lot of home runs.
Yep.
You held them fairly scoreless. Cardinals, I know, again, I'm not saying they're the best offense in the league, but they're better than Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't happen to think that this is strictly based on opponent matchup.
Isn't it nice to know that you've got a not only a series done with the Dodgers? I don't know if you play them once or twice, but...
You play them twice.
Okay. Well, it seemed like the Cardinals are only playing once against some team. It was weird, but anyway...
I think you play twice against every NL
team.
I
did too.
One trip there and one trip at home, one visit at home.
Maybe it was Shannon that said that, or oh boy. But isn't it nice to know you not only have a series with the Dodgers done, but you swept them? That's like a 3-game lead on everybody else in the NL Central.
What's funny is the three leaders of the divisions, the Mets, you swept them.
Oh.
The Dodgers, you swept them.
Unbelievable.
Cardinals, you took 2 of 3, and now you're tied for the lead.
Unbelievable.
So I think the Cubs, and look, I mean, the Mets are
who you been losing to?
The Mets are the quote-unquote division leader, but they're like 22-20, so it's not like,
right.
But I think you're a combined like 8-1 against the teams above 500 in the NL right now.
Who would you choose right now for MVP between these two guys? And I'm not saying that they're the only guys in the MVP race.
For the team or for baseball?
Just for baseball. And again, in other words, I'm only allowing these two guys to be thought of as MVPs. Chris Bryant or Nolan Arenado? Can you get his stats, Derek? Can you get Nolan's stats?
Okay.
And I want Trevor to get Chris Bryant's stats.
I can tell you right now, Chris Bryant's fourth in the league. I have it pulled up here in OPS.
But we really mind. We connect with our mind.
I know, right?
Fourth in OPS. Now, that means what?
On base plus slugging.
I've never
counting
understood.
Bases per...
I've never understood
appearance.
The P in that one. See, the P?
Plus.
Oh, got it. On base plus slugging. Got it.
Yeah.
I'm back.
So, as far as in all of baseball, Vladdy Jr. number one, Castellanos, Winker, Chris Bryant.
Castellanos. Are you upset that you don't have him anymore, Trevor?
Yes, extremely. He's a corner outfielder, and I know that Peterson... basically subbed in for Schwarber. They both have similar numbers this year, but like...
The Cardinals could have
Castellanos is like 2.5 times Peterson or Schwarber.
Right.
And again, it was like a money thing they said, and I'm just like...
Well, he's no
whatever,
Tyler
man.
O'Neill.
I am extremely biased, but I would not even hesitate to say Chris Bryant. He's like the third best hitter in all of baseball in every single category.
So
right
what
now.
Are his baseball card stats?
Well, I don't have those pulled.
I got them.
Okay. He's got. I think they each have 10 home runs, don't they? Or close?
They both have 10 home runs. Chris Bryant also has 15 doubles, which I think leads the league.
Mm.
He's batting .308, 28 RBIs. He's played all over the field, too.
Well, that's
many
you're
different
right.
positions, but
he hasn't played third in a month. I think I told you guys.
Yeah, you did say that actually.
Hasn't changed since then.
That is crazy.
And yeah, you understand slugging and all that kind of deal. So
I always joke about that.
You're OPS is like combining on base plus slugging.
Yeah, and he's fourth in baseball.
That's actually, I just said something stupid because that is what it stands for, on base plus slugging. But you get it. You get the point.
I do. And then Arenado's stats, he's not hitting as well in terms of...
Not the same average.
Okay.
It's 10, 15 points below at .289, also has 10 home runs, 15 doubles.
Okay.
So he's up there in doubles as well. 32 RBIs is one thing that he's
a little bit more than
really
Bryant.
Done well in driving in runs. His OPS is .880.
Okay. And Bryant's is what?
Almost 1,000. It's 990 something.
When he won NL MVP
991.
In 2016, it was 916. So he's basically batting better than when he actually won baseball's MVP award right now.
John just texted in on the U of I Illini Lake text line. Don't get me started with MVP conversations. He's one of those that like, oh, well, we've had this argument before with John about, it's funny, I mean, about like who the MVP should be. And
oh, it's the most flawed award
it
in
totally
sports.
Is.
I mean, if we're just going to be the best player, call it the best player award.
Exactly.
The
exactly.
most valuable player is the player whose team is 8-50 without him. And 50-8 with him.
Well, and you look I agree. You look at a guy like Bryant who's playing all over the field, which allows a guy like David Bote to play. I think it's just impressive what he's done. And I'm with you guys on Chris Bryant. I came into that argument or into that discussion, not an argument. I came into that discussion honestly not knowing. I did not realize that Bryant was doing that well. I knew he was. I thought he would have similar, if not a little bit better numbers than Arenado, But I didn't realize, like, the OPS was that good, and the fact that he's playing defense all over the place, he can play wherever, to a high level, that's even more impressive. But it's pretty cool how those two, the resurgence that Bryant is having for the Cubs as they sit in first place, and what Nolan Arenado has injected into the Cardinals, who sit in first place. It's just pretty cool how those two, if you will, third basemen, fantasy baseball would have them listed as third basemen. Those two, what they have done for these franchises so far, or thus far, whatever the right grammar is there, to have them both in first place, and they're both having monster seasons so far.
Yeah, we have talked about the Cubs bullpen, but the fact is, as Trevor mentioned, when Rizzo's not the Rizzo of 2 or 3 years ago, and Baez is not close to that MVP level that he was two seasons ago.
Exactly.
He's holding that up by being as good as he's been. At least the start, the sample size is still relatively small, but we're like a quarter of the way or whatever it
right,
may be.
Right.
There's enough there that you can say with darn confidence that he's been about as good as anybody in the NL.
Would agree.
At the plate. Trevor, I would pose this to you. Could you see a scenario? Let's say we just play this out until the trade deadline where Cardinals are neck and neck, say tied in first. Could the Cubs potentially be tied in first, have a little bit of a lead, or maybe a couple games back in first, and still trade Chris Bryant? Would they do that?
That's the question, right? Because I think...
I saw Mark Silverman. Sylvie texted out that or tweeted that out today as well.
Because I think in an ideal world, Jim Hendry, who is now the GM that Theo Epstein has moved on, would tell you that he was hoping the Cubs would have a mediocre to below mediocre season, but that the tradable assets would look really good. Now, part of that has come true in that the tradable asset of Chris Bryant looks really good.
Really?
In fact, probably better than anyone even anticipated.
Yep, I agree.
Not only playing at a great level, but playing at like four different positions effectively. But it's almost funny because for the last 3 years, the Cubs have basically done nothing and hoped that regression finds its mean and that those hitters start hitting and that they bounce back to 2016 form. And for three straight years, it hasn't happened.
Right.
Now they finally sort of like, I don't want to say wave the white flag because that would have meant trading everyone. But now they admit like, okay, this isn't happening. They trade away their ace for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And now everyone's clicking and you're in first place again. So it's almost ironic that the year where they kind of quote unquote gave up, not completely, but kind of, is the year where maybe if you had just had a Yu Darvish, then you'd have like a 2-game lead in the Central and be wanting to add pieces right now.
That still blows my mind.
So it's just kind of ironic that that happened that way. But I think it's a legit, like I would be upset if the Cubs were in first place at the break and instead of adding traded Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Now
I'm with you.
Maybe people disagree with that. Maybe the popular opinion is even if you're in first place, there's no way this team with this rotation makes a deep run, so trade Chris Bryant. But I guess my counter to that would be, have you seen trades lately? Because almost all of them are now, like the trend is like trade for pennies on like Nolan Arenado. I don't know what the hell that was. I mean, the guy retired or whatever, so like he's done. The Rockies GM, I don't think he's getting a job. But, you know,
the Mookie Betts deal.
The Darvish trade, Mookie Betts was again like 10 cents on the dollar.
Well,
if this ends up being the case where Chris Bryant gets traded for three 17-year-olds who I've never heard of.
Now you'll have six 17-year-olds.
And that'll be great for the 2035
exactly.
Cubs.
They're
in great shape.
You're going to win another
title.
All best friends.
But, oh boy, even better. I'm still very traditional.
That's awesome.
And Lon-ish in the sense of trading. Like if you told me we're going to acquire Chris Bryant from you, I would say, okay, so I need your top three prospects. And that's just not the way it works.
It's not anymore. You're right.
I'm still stuck in that sense of like, if I'm going to trade Chris Bryant, I better be getting a darn good return.
Heck yes.
And so I, in my mind, am picturing the Cubs being one game out at the deadline, trading Chris Bryant for 50 cents on the dollar because that's just the way it works and going like, you know what? I would have rather just seen what had happened the rest of the season if he kept playing really well.
Or just sign him.
Yeah, or that too.
Let him finish his career in Chicago.
I am to the point where I feel like they have enough that I would not be bothered by them ponying up instead of backing down.
Amen.
But if for some reason they have a catastrophic month of June and they're out of it and they feel like that's the chance they have to recover something from Chris Bryant, then sure.
That's fair.
I get it. It's just if it's a close call and they're right there, nothing from, and this isn't even a shot at the Cardinals, but nothing from any other team in Central has told me that, like, if you're one game back at the deadline, there's no chance of you winning that division.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So
well, I've finally reached the age that I'm tired of the looking down the road. Like I'm tired of, well, listen, if they trade him in 4 years, think of what, well, I might not be here. I want to win now.
I'm with you.
I mean, let's go.
I mean, and I'm not trying to get everybody fired up. Think of all the time we spent on this Illinois basketball team.
I know.
How long it took to build the roster and the expectation that they had, and all of that just flamed out.
Yeah.
So now that we're starting over with new assistants, new players, everything, it's fun.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm going like, we're back to square one, and it's going to take like 5 years to get back to square 30 where we were, and I just don't know if I even have it in me, and I just... So it's the same thing with the Cubs, you know?
It's
like,
fair. That's
like,
fair.
Yes, that's true. You could be really good in 2026 if you blow it up. But yeah. You know what? It's 2021, and you're in a winnable division. Screw it. Win the division.
You're right.
They won the division last year. I know it was a 60-game season.
Yeah.
But they won it, like, comfortably. And so I just... I don't know.
I wonder if
that is the hesitancy, though. If it's like, we could win the division, but we could have the same... We could run into the Marlins again. Not the same... The same situation. Marlins.
Right.
To where...
Right.
How satisfying is it at the very end when you could have gotten some assets out of Bryant for the future? But I agree with Trevor.
It's hard to be a GM.
And I think I'm in the minority, by the way. I think most fans would say they don't think this team has a deep run in them, so just trade everybody.
Yeah.
It's just that when I see the return on these trades...
If they had Darvish, I'd think different.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's just the return on these trades is nothing...
That's something I'd never thought about, but you're right.
And maybe they could get a really good return. Like, I don't know. I'm not sitting here saying, like, I have a deal in mind.
I mean, the Rockies got Austin Gomber.
If I heard the name of a specific 17-year-old, I'd be happy. Like, that's not true. I don't know who I'm looking for. I'm just saying that if it's going to be one of these deals like we've seen in recent years where a superstar gets traded for, like, two maybe potential prospects.
Then it's not worth it.
To me, I would rather just continue to ride it out.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's fair. You know what the moral of the story of that whole 20-minute segment was?
Oh, you're about to go blasphemous. That is blasphemous. How dare you say such a thing? That is insanity.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
We call this all piped up.
Oh, something about to go down?
I'm going piped up.
Nick Castellanos. What's his stats right now? That dude, the Cubs had him. You saw what he did for you. He was a doubles machine.
He almost broke the Wrigley record for doubles, and he was only there for half of a season.
He was a double machine. That dude was perfect in pinstripes for the Cubs. Oh, but let me look down south. Oh, I'm sorry. We've got Lane Thomas in St. Louis. Okay. Who would want Nick Castellanos on the St. Louis Cardinals?
He hit .321 in half the season with the Cubs and hit 16 home runs in just half the season with the Cubs.
But, Cubs are like, you know what? We're not going to try to spend money on you. Instead, we're going to get rid of you, Darvish. You just move on. Go somewhere else. Go be an all-star somewhere else. Meanwhile, the Cardinals are down here with their 15 outfielders that not one of them has really shown me anything, minus Dylan Carlson. But no, just don't add Nick Castellanos to that.
He had the third highest WAR in baseball for the second half of the season where he was traded to the Cubs.
We literally have something, both of us. Well, all three of us, but you know what I get. Cubs, Cardinals. We literally have something that we could sit here and go, he would have been perfect for us.
He was a net positive in defensive run saved in half a season for the Cubs.
He's currently hitting .355.
What?
With 12 bombs.
He would probably have 13 bombs if he wasn't suspended 4 games for yelling at Yachty or something.
And that's the last thing about Nick Castellanos. You know what he does? He plays with an edge.
Yeah.
Well, so now you like edge?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
And a 30-pound chain around his neck.
I don't know how they do that.
He seems like one of those guys where
not seem comfortable.
You definitely add like a Y to the end of his first name and call him something like Nicky C or something with the chain around his neck.
He's no Nick Foles, though.
That's true.
There's only a few of those in the world. Those lucky, lucky guys.
Progression over the years.
We're back. It's the drive.
Here's Michelle with her thoughts on the Long Branch Steakhouse.
I had the filet with a salad, baked potato, and green beans, and the filet was cooked perfectly, had great flavor, and normally I only eat about half a steak, and I ate the whole thing. It was really good. I would recommend Long Branch to everyone. Anybody listening to the radio, go there. The food is so worth the money that you spend. The drive is worth it.
Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
Champaign County Regional Planning Commission is trying to identify the strengths and needs in our community. This needs assessment will consider resources available to find specific causes and conditions preventing economic mobility. The survey serves and will point out areas where our community could improve to allow us to be more productive citizens in Champaign County. Look up and participate in this survey before the beginning of July with Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. Details found at ccrpc.org.
Illini Link is the University of Illinois Alumni Association's new professional networking and flash mentorship platform. Join the Illinois alumni community at illinilink.illinois.edu. Network with other alumni in your industry. Mentor students or other alumni in a short-term or long-term format, depending on your availability. Find a mentor for yourself. Join the Illini Link community today at illinilink.illinois.edu.
At Forward from Rastavi, Georgia, number 15, Georgie B.
Hey, it's me, Georgie B. My last 3 years in Champaign have been amazing, amazing, amazing. But the fun doesn't have to stop. Get down to Game Day Spirit to find the exclusive Georgie B. t-shirt collection. You will be glad you did. It's always a great day to have a great day at Game Day Spirit, baby. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Yes, sir.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. for over 10 years. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Berkey's, your local Kubota dealer at 2202 South High Cross
Road. Do you want to do something nice for your family? How about the gift of time and less work? Introducing the Wash and Dry Club from Country Squire Cleaners. Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Mahomet and deliver it back to your home 3 days later. Laundry done, $25 a week for 25 pounds. The Wash and Dry Club, Country Squire Cleaners, Round Barn in Champaign. Call 356-9422 for complete details. 356-9422. Call today. Why is Jet's Pizza different? It's their Detroit-style pizza dough made fresh daily. It's their fresh hand-grated mozzarella cheese straight off the mozzarella cheese blocks. It's their incredible sauces and spices and the taste and aroma of Jet's Pizza. If you want flash frozen cheese off the trucks, call the other guys. Jet's Pizza, handmade fresh and delicious every time. Jet's Pizza, discover the difference. Round Barn Center and Green and Neal in Champaign or jetspizza.com.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a train. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
If you need professional painters, look no further than Fresh Coat Painting. Locally owned Fresh Coat Painters of Champaign handle interior, exterior, residential, and commercial painting jobs. No matter how large or small, they take care of it with a genuine smile and with utmost courtesy. And they offer contact-free estimates and same-as-cash financing. For a contact-free estimate, just go to FreshCoatPainters.com. Stay local. Go with a professional painter you can trust. FreshCoatPainters.com. Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Is Bruno Mars still performing and singing? Is Justin Timberlake still? Those dudes haven't. Is it COVID? Is that the reason?
I don't know.
I'm ready for another drop on JT.
Bruno Mars is on this new Leave the Door Open song. Have you heard that one?
Oh, he is? Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard. I like Bruno. I just haven't heard his
stuff. I don't know where JT's at. Well, he's doing movies, right?
Oh.
He did some movie with a little boy or something?
He did it. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, where you at, JT? Let's go. Bruno, let's go. All right. That's not sports. Hey, baseball tonight. Cubs won today. Cardinals play tonight, and it's not Matt Peacock pitching now.
It's John Duplantier, who's making his major league debut.
You know that guy's
D-backs.
You know his descendants came over with the Pilgrims, right? I mean, you know they came over in one of those three ships.
They had fun with that one, too.
The Duplantiers. Because
you could basically just, as I've heard it, just free-form your last name at Ellis Island when they asked you what it was.
Exactly.
If you didn't like what you had, you could just be like, I'm a Duplantier now. So someone had fun with that one.
They're like, no, we're not asking what your job is. No, seriously, I'm a Duplantier. All right,
so there's a pronunciation on Baseball Reference, and I've got it wrong.
Uh-oh.
Surprise.
Duplantier.
John Duplantier.
Now he sounds like the guy that races in the Tour de France, and he's got a good enough arm that Duplantier is now pitching Major League Baseball. I'm trying to bring up my parlay, but I forgot.
You
but Trevor, I told you earlier.
From Duplantier to John.
No.
That's just a...
Yeah.
You need like a cooler first name if you're going to go.
What was your Spanish name in high school?
Tristan.
See?
Because Trevor didn't exist, so I was Tristan.
So Tristan Duplantier.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. That dude's walking to the bar and just being like, here I am. Let's be honest.
30-pound gold chain around the neck, just like Nick Castellanos.
He's like, what do you do? Well, I pitch in the bigs, and I finish fifth overall in the Tour de France. I mean, that dude is walking into a bar, and absolutely.
Okay, I lied. It's not his major league debut.
Oh, it's not.
He's getting called up from AAA.
Still pretty good.
Pitched a little bit in 2019.
How bad is he?
Two starts in AAA this year. He's 1-0, but his ERA is 7.71.
Ooh, in AAA.
Imagine how excited his parents are right now. Seriously, like right now at 6 o'clock our time. Imagine how excited they are in Arizona. It's what?
And the Cardinals are just going to crush him.
Well, maybe.
Can't wait.
All right, real quick. My parlay was Cardinals win, Goldie, who's returning to Arizona with a hit.
Narrative play. Mm.
Josh Reddick to get a hit. Seems like he always did against us. And, Carlos over 3.5 strikeouts. That's what I did.
Okay.
I would grade that as good but highly volatile.
Because of Carlos?
Anytime Carlos is pitching.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Basically, the first inning, I'll know if I'm in it to win it. If he comes out and, you know, is just blah, oh, well. Hey, we got to get out of here. Want to thank Jeff Alexander, new Illini assistant coach. Make sure you listen to that on the podcast, stevieJ.com. I'll see you boys tomorrow.
Sounds good.
It's a drive.